Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Basic biology we used to teach our children, when that is corrupted, then we should not be surprised if we have some very horrific consequences.
What's happening here with the race issue is really nothing different than what's happened with other issues with Marxism. They're just simply using, I think, racism as the wedge to get it into society, because it is a touchy issue.
When religion declines, we by nature are religious creatures, and we will find other things to fill that void.
When you understand the means of grace, we know where to find God. We know where to hear God. We know how to talk to God. Or more importantly, we know how God could talk to us.
College students graduating during COVID-19, love Issues, etc.
You can study Lutheran theology in books, and I highly recommend that you do. You can find Lutheran theology, its very core, in studying Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the 1580 Book of Concord, and I highly recommend that you do. You can interact with Lutheran theologians and Lutheran thinkers of the past and the present, and I highly recommend that you do. But you do not really truly grasp Lutheran theology in its genius and in its comfort until you have visited a Lutheran church on Sunday morning and attended the celebration of the Lutheran Divine Service. That is where all that theology, all those ideas, all that Scripture and Confessions, all that comfort come together. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Memorial Day, May the 31st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's show concluding our Lutheran spirituality series with Dr. Gene Edward Veith talking about worship, and then we'll look forward to Sunday morning according to the 3-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fikencher. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is Provost and Professor of Literature Emeritus at Patrick Henry College, previously served as Culture Editor for World Magazine. He's Director of the Cranach Institute at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, Third Edition. Dr. Veith, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Tell us about your first exposure to the Lutheran liturgy and the divine service.
Well, my wife and I moved to a little town in Oklahoma. I just finished grad school. I got a job at a little junior college there. So we were church shopping. So we stopped in at a little Lutheran church. And our background is in mainline liberal Protestantism. That's what we both grew up in. And then we got involved in evangelical circles later on in college, grad school. So our understanding of worship was basically you go in, sing some songs, and then hear a sermon. So we walked into the Lutheran church, and we were really struck by how different it was from what we were used to. It was formal, it was structured, it was going somewhere, and we really found that kind of refreshing. And so we decided to go back again the next week, and all of a sudden, everybody started chanting, and the pastor was up there in a robe and vestments, and people were standing and kneeling and bowing, and this medieval-sounding chants were going everywhere, and it really blew us away. And my wife said later, you know, it's like we were stepping back into the Middle Ages. And we learned later that the first time we went to the Lutheran service, that was their casual service. once a month in months. They have five Sundays, I think it was. They have what they considered an informal service. And when Lutherans try to be informal or casual, they're still more formal than anybody else, it seems like. But then that second time, we were introduced to the divine service in the old Lutheran hymnal. And as we kept coming back and are fascinated by that, what seemed at the time to be ancient, we later realized was just timeless, that we were stepping outside of our everyday lives and our everyday modern world into something that has to do with eternity. And we found that way of worship just so compelling, we kept coming.
You say that Lutheran spirituality is embodied, it's expressed tangibly in Lutheran worship. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, just about every element of Lutheran theology, like the things I got into in my book, Spirituality of the Cross, it's there tangibly in worship. The distinction between law and gospel, well, we have that in the sermon, the forgiveness of sins. We have that in the confession and absolution. Christology, the nature of Christ, that is a key concept to explain Lutheran worship and Lutheran sacraments. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, the Word of God, how he comes to us in the Word. And of course, justification by faith, which is the response we have to almost everything that comes in the worship, from the hymns that we sing, the classic liturgical songs that go back almost into biblical times, the sermon, and our response to the sacraments. It's all there, and it's lived out in a tangible way, not abstractly, but it all comes together in a typical, ordinary Sunday morning worship service.
How is the holiness of God at the center of the divine service?
Yeah, you know, that was what we realized later that we were really responding to, my wife and I, when we first started going to Lutheran worship. Holiness comes from a word meaning set apart, but it means a lot more than that. It's set apart. It is different than our normal, common, everyday experience. It's set apart because the transcendent God is there. It's where kind of spiritual reality breaks into the world. And the holiness for Christians, something is holy because God makes it holy. He makes it holy with his presence, with his grace. And so in worship, I mean, just the terminology of it, we have the Holy Bible, a book that's set apart from all other books because of what God does in and through it. Holy Communion, Holy Baptism. God's people are a holy priesthood. And that sense of holiness is really what we're entering into in the divine service, where we come into the presence of holy things, come into the presence of God. We receive Christ's presence in his body and blood in Holy Communion. And it's something that you react to with reverence because, you know, this is not something typical. This is normal. God is here. Christ is here. And it's where we find the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work whenever God's word is proclaimed and the sacraments are there and God's people come together. So the whole of Lutheran worship is really about holiness and how we find and come into contact with that, with the holiness of God.
You write about the beauty of holiness. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a passage in the Psalms that talks about we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that's a concept that I think is sometimes misunderstood. Some people take it. It's the beautiful, not the holiness of beauty. And some Christians think that anything that's beautiful is holy. And you know, in some sense, I think it does testify to us of the glorious creation that God has made and makes possible. But that holiness is beautiful. It's compelling. It's profoundly attractive and something that we revel in. And where God's holiness is, there is no ugliness or tastelessness or commonness. It's something that breaks in on us that we have to respond to and just see the beauty of it. And so in a typical Lutheran church, you have the beauty of music, both in the typically the worship service is sung, not just by a choir, but by the congregation. The whole service is sung. It's put to music. You have beautiful, magnificent hymns. Typically, you have the use of works of art that adorn the chancel and adorn the sanctuary, all that point to Christ and to Scripture. And just the actions of liturgy, it involves the whole person as we stand and kneel and listen. And it's a profoundly aesthetic experience, but it's not just an aesthetic experience. Again, it's the beauty of holiness. It's a special kind of beauty that comes from the presence of the author of all beauty.
Why does Lutheran worship have what you call a pronounced objective quality?
Well, Lutheran theology is very objective. It's not just a matter of what goes on inside us. It's what God has done objectively for us and continues to do objectively for us. God, the Son, became incarnate in a human being at a point in history. He died on the cross. He objectively bore our sins in his body. It's not something that happened within us. It's something that happened outside of us. And that God's grace comes to us from the outside, from his word. Again, it's not something that we manufacture in ourselves. It's not contingent on our will or our choice or our subjective experiences. God comes to us from the outside. His word comes to us. His sacraments come to us. And we respond to it. Doesn't mean it doesn't have a subjective component. It comes from the outside, and then we respond. That ties into our faith in these gifts that are coming to us objectively from God. And Lutheran worship is that same way. It's about receiving God's gifts, his gifts, particularly of his word and his sacraments. And then we respond to those. When we hear of God's, after we confess our sins and hear those words of forgiveness, we respond with praise, with joy. And the liturgy helps us towards those responses with all the church that we feel. And as we go through the worship, it's all about reception from outside and then our response to that, which is an image really of justification by faith.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. We're concluding our series on Lutheran spirituality today, talking about worship. Does that objective quality mean that Lutheran worship is formalistic or wooden? We'll answer that question next.
We
We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can meet and hear Dr. Robert George at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christian greeting card makers, gift shop owners, laser cutters, church banner creators, ornamentalists, poster purveyors, jewelry designers, fine artists, hymn writers, wood carvers, UV bed printers, and authors all love Issues Etc. And you'll find our work at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.
Thanks to Dr. Leonard Payton and St. John Lutheran Church in Forest Park, Illinois, for recently becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Sponsorship benefits include advertising confessional Lutheran churches on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Now, many congregations begin a new fiscal year July 1st. Don't miss your church's budget deadline. For more information on becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor, give us a call, 618-223-8385, or visit the support donate page at issuesetc.org. We're concluding our series on Lutheran spirituality. Today we're talking about worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. He is author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, 3rd edition. Dr. Veith, before we were talking about that objective quality of Lutheran worship. Does that objectivity mean that Lutheran worship is formalistic and wooden?
No, I don't think so at all. Again, we receive something objectively, and then we respond to it. And our response is that a faith? But it also can involve other emotions. I mean, I myself find Lutheran worship to be very emotionally moving, especially when I've been troubled, especially when there's something I'm struggling with. It's so comforting, so refreshing. It builds me up in a very real way. Now, I do realize that it is possible that Lutheran worship can just be routine. And sometimes that, you know, I fall into that too, just repeating the words, going through the motions. But again, that's not the fault of the liturgy. Again, as in everything, in, you know, the sacraments and the word, we respond to it by faith. And if someone is just reciting words without really responding to what's being said, yeah, I could see that it could become formalistic and wooden if somebody just ignored the whole meaning and significance of what's going on. But of itself, I find that the liturgy helps me to feel emotions, helps me to be engaged, because in Lutheran worship, the congregation is always doing things. It isn't a matter of sitting back and watching a show. It's participation. We're singing, we're responding. The pastor sings something to us, we sing something back to him. We're singing and standing and kneeling at some points, and we're doing things. So I find the liturgy actually helps me to avoid just going through the motions. At least that's the way it is with me, and I think with a lot of people.
You have mentioned several times, both in the series and in our conversation so far, the presence of God. And I want to emphasize that because that's something that I think maybe evangelicals would say, oh yeah, we believe that God is present there at worship, but they have a different understanding of how God is present or how they think God may be present or not in worship. Talk about the distinctive Lutheran way of understanding that Christ, we don't just say he's kind of spiritually observing the event. He's there driving the action.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. My evangelical friends, they criticize Lutherans for believing in the real presence of Christ in the sacrament, but they talk about presence all the time. Jesus is present in your heart. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. There's one thing that I hear in worship circles, evangelical talking about taking a text from the Psalms that God is present in the voice of his people is a way to talk about God's being present in singing. And so a lot of evangelical churches will begin with just a time that they call it worship. We'll start with a time of worship and then we'll have the sermon. And by that they mean singing. And they believe that in some sense God is present in their singing. And they'll say, I could really feel God's presence that time. But yet what they mean is, and I wonder, I ask them, is that a real presence or are you just speaking symbolically? And they seem to think it's a real presence, but like you say, it's in a very different sense. The focus is on present inside us. It's something that we feel. The Holy Spirit does indwell Christians. And he is present, really. But it's not just a matter of feeling, and it's not just a matter of emotion, and it's more than just a, as I say, spiritual presence, because it's a real presence. It's an objective presence. And so Lutherans believe that Christ is present in, most famously, the Lord's Supper, in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion, that is not just there spiritually. It's not his, Jesus didn't say, this is my spirit in the bread and wine. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. And so it's an objective, tangible reality through physical means. We also believe that the Holy Spirit is present in God's word. And the Bible isn't just a collection of information or a guidebook or anything. The Holy Spirit is actually in the Bible. And when that Bible is read, as it is in worship, extensively, when it's sung in our hymns, when it's preached in the sermon, the Holy Spirit is actually there and he's actually working on us. He's actually creating faith in us. And so that presence is extremely important, and it's something that the Lutheran worship really emphasizes a lot. And I think the other Christians don't quite, I think they desire it, they yearn for it, and they look for it in maybe some different ways than Scripture really points to if they really studied it closely. But it's something that really is a reality in worship.
How is Lutheran worship then different from popular worship forms in Christianity today?
Well, I mentioned how the sense of holiness in worship, this it's set apart, it's different than the normal. When you study the idea of holiness or of sacredness, you'll find that it's always distinguish between what is holy and what is common. Now, the common, not just in the sense that it's, you know, normal and found everywhere, but the sense that there is a common realm of life, an ordinary, a secular dimension of life. And that's contrasted with holiness. And the more popular forms of worship today say, well, people aren't like that, like they were in the old days. People want music like they listen to today. People are used to technology, so we need to bring technology into the service. All of the efforts is to try to make worship like our everyday lives. In other words, to make it common. And when you try to make a worship service common, you're making it impossible for it to be holy. Because you can't experience it as being holy or even know what holy is when every effort is to make it common. So a lot of popular worship today tries to be new, therefore cutting it off from the great historical church that goes back for centuries to the time of Christ. Part of worship, to me, is entering that glorious company of the saints of the past and in heaven today. But that impulse to be new cuts us out from that. Even the design of the way sanctuaries are organized. I've been teaching a Bible class on, saying, the temple in the Old Testament, and how even today there's a continuity between the temple worship in the Old Testament going through the church even to today. And so our sanctuaries typically have a three-part structure. There's a part where we gather together outside the doors of the sanctuary. That's the vestibule. The temple had something like that. Then you go into the holy place. That's the place where we gather and the congregation is seated. Then behind that, it's like where the altar is. It represents the most holy place and where the body and blood of Christ are on the altar and where the pastor is presiding. Anyway, all of that has meaning, not just in the temple. There are other dimensions and theological meanings of church architecture even. But so many churches today, they're built on the model of a stage. The model is of a concert or an entertainment venue. And so there's a stage. People are seated around it in theater-style seating, seeing the stage. And on the stage, you'll find amps from the electric guitars, from the band that's playing. You might find a big screen that's dominating everything, just like a movie screen. And the model is entertainment rather than what the historic church would recognize as actual transcendent worship. And so now I'm not saying that churches that have that and Christians that worship that way, I'm not saying they don't have the gospel and that, you know, genuine worship can't take place. God, if his word is there, God is giving his gifts. So, but they're just missing so much. They're missing so much of what worship really can be and is in God's design. And what God offers to us in worship is something much, much greater, I think, than what you get just going to a spiritual concert and hearing an inspirational talk.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. We're concluding our series on Lutheran spirituality, talking about worship. On the other side, what is the danger of human-centered worship? Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in Christianity. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will help make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
When it comes to serving their neighborhood, what could two churches 2,400 miles apart have in common? Both Grace Lutheran Church in Blaine, Washington, and Christ the King in Memphis, Tennessee, are confronting homelessness in amazing ways. Their stories are inspiring and make you want to join in with them. Hello, my name is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and I'm inviting you to check out these stories and more at interesttime.org. Great things are happening coast to coast, and you can be a part of it. That's interesttime.org.
As we struggle to look at the world from a Lutheran perspective, there are many things that would tempt us from seeking first the kingdom of God. The May issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about this. Titled, Seek First the Kingdom of God, it covers a wide range of learning how to get over our worries and fears and trust in Christ alone, to how to avoid the temptations and struggles of technology. To order your copy of the Lutheran Witness, visit cph.org/witness. You can also read more on witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, 3rd edition. We're talking about worship as we conclude our series on Lutheran spirituality. Dr. Veith, what's the danger of human-centered worship?
Well, it's important. Who are you worshiping? If the human is the center of the worship, the dynamics of the worship point to the human. Whereas if it's God who you're worshiping, then you're pointing away from the human, from the self. And of course, the issue is what God does for us in worship and how he reaches us through the means of grace. But if the self, for example, or the consumer, a lot of the contemporary works on how worship should be, it takes a very consumeristic view, as if we're selling a product. You know, how can we appeal to religious consumers by giving them what they want, therefore getting more people into the door? And again, you could do that. There's entertainment evangelism, the thought of where you're evangelizing people by entertaining them. But again, when you're doing that, you're taking just a very limited and even confused understanding of worship. If you put God at the center, it comes out very different, but comes out a whole lot better.
How does the Word of God permeate Lutheran worship? You go into some detail about how everything is basically Scripture.
That's right. The Word of God is everywhere in Lutheran worship. The responses come from the Bible. The great liturgical songs, the Kyrie, the Gloria in Excelsis, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and the Agnus Dei, all those are just right from the Bible. Then we read the Bible out loud, Old Testament, Epistle, Gospel. It's the Word of God. And then the pastor preaches the Word of God, taking one of those texts and unfolding it to us and bringing out the law and gospel and preaching it into our hearts. The sacraments, it's all from the Bible. The hymns in the Lutheran service book, if you look at every hymn at the bottom, there's it gives the text, the scriptural text that each hymn is based on. And so when you go to Lutheran worship, you're just bathed in the Word of God. That's all there is to it. That's what you're saying and singing and hearing. And again, my evangelical friends who criticize Lutheran worship, I ask them, well, it's all just texts of Scripture. So what text of Scripture do you object to? And of course, they can't answer that. But basically, that's what we're doing. We're using God's Word to worship Him. And we're receiving God's Word from Him as we worship Him. And so the effects of that Word on our faith, on our lives, you know, can hardly be underestimated. But it's the Word of God is the substance and the content and the means of Lutheran worship.
You say that God does everything for us on Sunday morning. What do you mean by that?
Well, again, He has the initiative. We come to Him as sinners, as mortals, and then God gives Himself to us. And He does it through His Word and His sacraments, and that happens through preaching that we hear at worship. It happens as the Word of God that we're surrounded with sinks into us in worship. When we receive the sacraments, baptism, and Holy Communion, we receive that in the most intimate and personal way. And then He sends us back out into our common world, into our vocations, into our everyday life. And that's where we live out the faith that He has given us. But it's really, again, the divine service is not our service to the divine. It's the divine's, it's God's, His service to us.
So that's another fundamental difference in orientation between Lutheran worship and popular worship today, the direction of the action.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And again, I know some speak about, I know my Reformed friends also object to a lot of what's going on in evangelical circles, and they talk about making God the center, but they speak of Him as if He is receiving our worship. We are glorifying Him by our worship. We are serving Him in our worship. It's God-centered, and that's good. But again, the direction of it is different. Lutherans believe that the direction comes from God to us, and then to Him back again in our prayers and praises and our faith, our response to Him. But it's important to remember, again, which way it comes. And when God is at the center, He pours out His gifts. And that's what's embodied really in worship.
We're talking about worship as we conclude our series on Lutheran spirituality with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. That's what you'll find at the 2021 Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. It's an opportunity for you to meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Jack Phillips, Larry Rast, Brian Wolfmiller, and Will Wheaton. Register soon. Attendance is limited. Find out more at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Someone says that Lutheran worship is too Catholic. We'll get Dr. Veith's response next. Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12. And is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Talking about worship as we conclude our series on Lutheran spirituality with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Veith, you have mentioned some of the elements of the divine service already in the course of our conversation, but if you would briefly walk us through the divine service, the typical Sunday morning service in a Lutheran church.
Well, the first thing that happens is really one of the most remarkable to me, but we always take it for granted. The invocation begins, Pastor said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first thing you do in worship is to call upon the God that you're addressing. That is the God that we're worshiping, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that name, that's the name that we were baptized in. And the scripture has so much about the name of God. We pray in the name of Jesus. We perform miracles in the name of Christ. That very name is a very profound thing. So after the invocation, again, recalling our baptism, next thing that happens, we confess our sins. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and the prayers that are designed to help us to do that. And then the pastor announces the grace of God unto each of us and forgives our sins. Rather, as we talked about before, Christ forgives our sin through him. And so we have the gospel, we have the forgiveness of sin right at the beginning, and then we have times of response, and we pray these great songs of praise that go way back throughout the church, the Kyrie, Lord have mercy, the joyous song of the Christmas angels, glory to God in the highest. And then we have a prayer, the collect, where the church collectively offers a prayer that ties into the seasons. And then that collect is different for each part of the season. And then part of the service then, you think it's the same every time. It isn't. They're called propers, which are elements that are proper to the time of the church year that it is. And so we have different collects. We have different scripture readings, different prayers. And then you have the scripture reading of Old Testament, the epistles, the gospel, and that part of the service, it builds and builds until it culminates in the sermon. And that's one of the climaxes, the high point of the service. But there, and I love the way the liturgy kind of builds up to those. And then after the sermon, there's a relaxation, the offering, offertory, the prayers for the church, including prayers for the congregation and the members in the congregation. Very often pray by name for the people that the congregation has asked and is in need of prayers. And then it starts building to another climax as we move into the service of the sacrament, when we have the Lord's Supper. And it builds and builds to that. And the Last Supper is played out there. And God's word is there, and Christ is present in his body and blood in the bread of wine. And we go up to the altar to receive those gifts in the most personal way. And then it lets us down again. After that climax, there's a relaxation there. As we praise him for that, as we receive God's blessings, and finally with the benediction, the pastor sends us back into our callings, dismisses us, often with the words, you know, in faith toward you, it's a relationship to God, and in fervent love toward one another, our vocation to our neighbors. That's in the closing prayer. And then there's the benediction, again, the sign of the cross, the reminder of our baptism, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are sent on our way. And so the divine service, it has a dramatic element. I mean, it goes somewhere. It develops. It has various moods and various modes, and it takes us through an experience, really. And we end that going back into the common realm, into the profane, the secular realm. But we've been built up in our faith, and we're ready to live out our faith now in our callings and in whatever God sends our way.
Someone may suppose, and this is a very common criticism, that Lutheran worship is too Catholic. How do you respond?
Well, it is Catholic in the important way, in a way that even the Roman Catholic Church isn't, because it is universal. The liturgy that Lutherans use is basically the same that was used in the beginning of the early church, yes, through the Middle Ages and the papal errors that developed, but also in the Orthodox churches in the East and in the Anglican churches among Protestants. And this is was the universal way of worship throughout most of the world's history, and even still through much of the world today. Now, Roman Catholics don't have a monopoly on the liturgy any more than they have a monopoly on the Bible or on the creeds or on other elements of Christianity. They often say that they do, but they don't. And to say that this way Christian is Catholic, I mean, would you say that the doctor of the Trinity is Catholic. And I know some Christians or some Protestant radicals will say that, and they don't have any creeds, they don't have any doctrines, and they reject the Trinity, and some even reject the Bible, although a few of them will go that far. But Christian worship belongs to the universal Christian church, and it's not the property of the Church of Rome by any means. Now, the Reformation, part of the critique of the Roman Catholic Church was that it added a bunch of stuff to the liturgy that points away from God and his gifts instead of pointing to Christ and the gospel. And so those elements were removed during the Reformation to get to the basic structure of the liturgy. And again, Lutherans are not so strict as some are, that it's something that you have to, there's only one form of it. It exists in many different musical settings, different variations, different emphases. It's something that can be elaborated on. And so some churches are very high church, you know, with incense and genuflections and other things, or it can be made more simple. And sometimes churches are experimenting with contemporary approaches to the liturgy, but you'll find that all of the elements that I just talked about are going to be the same. That movement, the invocation, the confession of sins and absolution, the service of the word, service of the sacraments, that structure is really basic and historically has been basic to Christian churches, and it's something that Lutherans still treasure very greatly and see the real significance of.
Finally, as we conclude our series on Lutheran spirituality, why are you a Lutheran, Dr. Veith?
Well, I grew up in a mainline liberal Protestantism, and I came to know about Christianity by reading books. C.S. Lewis was very important to me. But I was doing without a church. And I tried to be a Christian as I learned more and more just on my own as an individual. And I still went to the church, to the mainline liberal Protestantism that really didn't teach me anything, or when it did, often contradicted what I was learning about Orthodox Christianity. But as I kept trying to live on my own, being sort of a church unto myself, it's easy to go astray. And in my college years, I wasn't really involved with any other Christians on campus or involved in any kind of church that really was a body of believers that could give me the discipline and teaching and worship that I needed. And so as I kept going, finally I did start to make Christian friends. I did start going to a church of believers, and that was such a blessing to me. But I was never really at home there. I discovered Lutheranism. I tell about that in my book. I go into more detail in the third edition than I do in the earlier ones, how that happened. And here I finally found myself as part of a church, as part of the Holy Christian Church, in a way that I had never been before. And the Lutheran church I was finding to be a fulfillment of all the other things I've found in the other strains of Christianity that had influenced me from some of the Catholic writers I liked, some Anglican writers like C.S. Lewis, even some of the Reformed writers that I was learning from, taught me about the grace of God. They all came together in the Lutheran church. And in Lutheran worship, I really found a sustenance that has just made all the difference in my life. And so I guess in my journey to becoming a Christian, going deeper and deeper and finding the different implications of that, I found myself to be a Lutheran, and I knew that I was really home.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is Provost and Professor of Literature Emeritus at Patrick Henry College, previously served as Culture Editor for World Magazine. He's Director of the Cronach Institute at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, 3rd Edition. I have called this a modern-day Lutheran classic. Read it, and you will agree. It's at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Veith, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Next hour, we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about Jesus' teaching on blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in Mark chapter 3. So what is the unique comfort of Lutheran doctrine and practice? Well, it's not unique at all. It is simply what we find in Holy Scripture, centered in the person and work of Jesus Christ, there in his perfect life, death, and resurrection for you, and still ongoing through his church to deliver the benefits of all that cross work to you every day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul Lutheran School of Hamel, Illinois is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're looking for a first and second grade teacher for the 2021-2022 school year. We pay 100% salary scale for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Other benefits include full health care coverage, retirement and disability, and continuing education assistance. For more information, email jeff@issuesetc.org. jeff@issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.